Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, instead of the regular class, I'd like to have some discussion, open discussion. I first have a few things to say. We are trying to function as an ISKCON ashram. Apart from our specific purpose as a school, apart from the problems that involves, generally, we're trying to function as a Vaishnava ashrama. We're trying to live and work together for spiritual purposes. That requires, to make it feasible, that devotees feel satisfied in their lives and their service, and that they can trust one another and communicate with one another. And I see an evident crisis having developed here, a crisis in dissatisfaction and mistrust. So I want to deal with that. I want to discuss that today. I mostly am going to ask, everyone here to give me their understanding of what's going on. I need to understand. But I'd like to, first of all, go back and try to clarify, if it's not clear enough, what the purpose of our special project here is. Just to give you, anyway, just to get it off of my shoulders. If one of the problems is that we have not explained clearly, if you're having doubts, lack of vision, and doubting what are you here for, let me just again, I think I've said it before, but let me try to clarify what we're here for. Even more basic than teaching Sanskrit and even studying Bhagavatam, in those basic terms, the purpose of this project, special purpose of this project, is to give devotees an opportunity to function as brahmanas in an appropriate environment with appropriate engagement. Let's try to remember what it means to function as a Brahman, what makes a Brahman functionally different than the other Varnas. You can first of all question, why do we have to do that? We're Vaishnavas, why don't we just function transcendentally as Vaishnavas? But it's not an option allowed to us by Prabhupada that we just pretend to be Paramahamsas when we're not. Solitary bhajan is not an option for us. We do have to work together, either as brahmacharis in an ashram, or at least as members of a cooperative society. And we have to do some practical service. So everyone here is voluntarily here to try to do a brahminical service. And then we have a specific kind of service, but basically a brahminical service. So what does it mean to function as a Brahman? We've chosen to try to do that. So what are we trying to do? A Brahman is one of the four Varnas. What's a cow? A cow is an animal, but not a horse and not a pig. And you define what's the difference. What's a cow? So what's a Brahman? It's a member of a social division of society, and it's not a Kshatriya, it's not a Vaishya, it's not a Shudra. What's the difference? We know that from Shastra. Brahmana, his main interest in life is worshipping the Lord, studying Shastra, worshipping the deity, and teaching those spiritual activities to others, and helping others engage in them. This is basic business of a Brahman. If you're going to function as a Brahmin, that's what you expect is your life is going to be revolving around. So when you have a Brahminical program, it's only going to interest certain people. A person who is really, his nature is really something else, he's not going to be interested. Brahmins are motivated by the desire to serve the Supreme and cultivate spiritual knowledge and share it. The other classes have other motivations. Kshatriya wants power. And if he's a good Kshatriya, he wants it for good purposes. But what he wants is power. A Vaishya, what he wants is money. Maybe for good purposes, but his motive is money. He lives for money. And a Shudra lives for sense gratification and is willing to work to get some pay so he can get his sense gratification. So therefore, if there's a Brahminical program, I'm not saying we have one, but if there is a Brahminical program, then a Kshatriya is not going to be interested. He's going to wonder, where's the glory? You know, I'm supposed to live simple, be satisfied with bare necessities of life, and read some books and do some worship, but where's the glory? Where's the power? He's not interested. And Avaisha is asking, where's the money? There's no money in this for me. And Ashudra is wondering, where's the sense gratification? Or where's the source of security? You know, who's taking care of me? Don't I get a pension in the end for my retirement? The Shudra is thinking like that. Being a Brahmin is not just being intellectual or being skillful in various ways. It's a matter of character. You know, we have to understand what's the proper definition. For example, a business manager is not a Kshatriya. He's just exploiting money and people. His mentality is really Vaishya mentality, not Kshatriya. Just because he can boss people around, or even if he can beat someone up, it doesn't make him a Kshatriya. He just has a Vaishya mentality. And similarly, the paid employee of a corporation, including an academic corporation, a university professor, is just a Shudra. He's working for money, and he's using it for his own sense gratification. To be a real Brahman means to forego all these interests. We're not interested in power, we're not interested in money, we're not interested in sense gratification. Otherwise, this is not the program for such a person who has those other interests. I don't know if that clarifies. But anyway, we should understand we're here to try to learn how to function as Brahmins in a way that helps fulfill Prabhupada's mission, that doesn't work against it. Because of where we're coming from in Kali Yuga and our corrupt backgrounds, whether we're Indian or Westerner, we're corrupted. We have mixed natures. And even if we have a strong inclination to be Brahminical, we've got to clean off all this, you know, covering of passion and ignorance. We have some work to do to come to the point of actually being able to function as Brahmins. So now we should discuss what problems are we facing here? Why are we not really functioning as a Brahminical community? I'm getting the sense that devotees are not feeling encouraged, maybe because they're not, probably because they're not getting personal attention, and that's my fault. I'm by nature a book person, not a communicative person. I'm not an organizer, and for me to do any organizing and much communicating, more than minimal communicating, requires me to really stretch myself, to do as much as I'm doing. And I'm sorry if that's not enough. You know, I'm trying to be personal. Yes, it's a big problem that every one of the devotees here needs personal attention. We need to be trusting of one another and tolerant of one another's faults. But somehow we're you know, devotees are dissatisfied, and they seem to be dissatisfied with one another, and probably with me. So I just want to ask now, how do you perceive the problem? Are you feeling dissatisfied? Are you feeling distrustful? Or do you see it in others? And what is it? What is the problem? Would anybody like to start the discussion? Dhammadharpa, give me a microphone.
A few ideas came in mind as you spoke, and also most of these are not new ideas. As far as, I think we have a clear goal, as you say, to function as Brahmins. It seems to be a big goal. It's like shooting for the rhinoceros, maybe, in this Kali Yuga. So I think it would be helpful to have some estimation of progress towards this goal.
Yes.
And some sub-goals to see, okay, we're gradually reaching there. Okay, maybe we can have this goal in meanwhiles to help us get to that stage and see if we have accomplished that goal. Then we'll feel, okay, our progress has been estimated. So the first thing is estimating our progress.
Yes.
And then as a solution to this, to have smaller sub-goals, steps towards reaching this clear, but this vision of functioning as Brahmanas.
Okay, so can I respond to that? It's already, actually, this has already been told to me, and I would need help in doing this. In you know, what you want is evaluation. You know, you want ongoing evaluation, not just one grammar test at the end of the semester, but some way to know how you're doing. And it's also an impetus. You're being graded, or you're being evaluated. My tendency has been, just my nature is to avoid that. I'm motivated to try not to have to take birth in this world again for one primary reason. I don't want to take tests again. Yeah, I hate them. And I don't like to impose them on others. But if that's what's wanted and required, okay, not heavy tests, but ongoing evaluation, quizzes, and, you know, being asked to write a short essay and on like that. That is, we're already in the process of developing that. Vishnukanta is working on it. And we'll test some system out before the vacation, and then after the vacation, put something in place. So the evaluation procedure, we're working on it. Now, sub-goals. What do you suggest about that? Our goals are pretty. You could say vague. It depends what your vision is. If you've got something other than a Brahminical vision, then it's not only vague. It's useless. You know, we're just reading Bhagavatam and learning some dead language. There's no money in it. There's no glory in it, and there's not much sense gratification in it. So, even done, you know, and how do you split that up into sub goals? How much Bhagavatam have you? You know, how much of the message of the Bhagavatam have you gotten? 2% of it, 3% of it? How do you measure it? You can measure how many chapters you've read, but how do you measure how much you've actually absorbed the Bhagavatam? So, you have to help me here. Grammar, we're already having some sort of evaluation, but you want to make it more.
I know this was just.
And what other things do we evaluate? What other things do we split up into sub-goals? Yes. And is it separate than the evaluation process or part of it?
So what I understand is that now we are working here and our whole day is divided into sadhana, study and services.
Sadhana, study and services.
Yes. Sadhana is a morning program and so on till Bhagavatam class and all that. Study is the different courses and the preparation for the next day. And the services includes ashram services and this and whatever is given to us by authorities. Yes. So this is what I understand, that the day of a devotee, especially here, is divided into these three primary things. So when he said sub-goal, then it came to my mind that so how we perform these three activities as a member of the, as a student or a staff of Srimad Bhagavad Vidyapitam is to estimate our progress in these three activities.
Yes.
That is a sub-goal, we can say. And estimate in the sense that whether we are performing well or not, how much we are performing, and if we are not performing well, what can be done in order to improve our performance.
That makes sense.
That's the sub-goal, my understanding.
Okay, well, that's the evaluation process. But beside that, you want to make things more, you want to have it more analytic or more, you know, broken up into pieces, what our program is? What do you have an idea what that means, what that involves?
Well, I think what I mean by the sub-goals will, like, for example, this is a sub-goal.
Which?
Evaluation. That we need to.
Well, it's a collective sub-goal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I mean, is that.
Oh, yeah, sure. We have specific tasks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So sub-goals means, like, okay, we have to improve the evaluation. Then as the need arises, we'll have some other goals. It's just a terminology to use that.
Okay.
It's just.
Okay, I understand now. You're talking about, as a group, about having specific tasks. Specific things that have to be accomplished to meet our goals.
Yeah, which is to eventually...
Like, you know, in order to fix the atmosphere in the ashram, you know, it would help to have an evaluation procedure.
Yeah.
So putting that into effect is one thing to do, a task.
So that's one task or sub-goal as to help us function as Brahmins.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like, I'll give another example. Devotees are wondering about, like, the property that the school is supposed to have, what's the progress with that? So these are also sub-goals that devotees would like to know, because sometimes
it's too austere
because of the sound. Okay. Because sometimes here it's too austere because of the sound or just sometimes the...
Well, the negotiation for land is very low-key. It can't be discussed too much. And also, I'm not even... I mean, it's out of my hands. I'm not even... Following the details, I don't have much input into the details. It's happening. Trinada people is negotiating, and it can't be discussed too much openly.
Okay.
I can give a report after today when I talk to him. One thing about procedure. You see problems, you're dissatisfied about something, what do you do about it? What Matsya told me, and he may have told you other things, but what he told me just before he left is that he's disturbed that devotees are engaged in backbiting, which means they're complaining about one another to somebody else rather than going to the person you have a complaint with. We don't have a very strong management system here, but we have some. And it really, if you have a complaint that involves the ashram, you should go to the authorities, you know, like, if you have to, come to me. My door is open. Whenever I'm here, I'm willing to talk to anybody about anything. I don't enough reach out and grab you and ask you to come in, but the door is open. And if you have a problem, don't think that, you don't want to bother me, because it's more botheration when the problem is not recognized and taken care of, and then I have to deal with it. So try to avoid what Matsya Prabhu is calling backbiting. Just going to anybody and complaining about, the other person. Go to the person himself and go to those who are responsible to manage the ashram. Now, another thing has been suggested, that we involve a few of the devotees in helping to monitor the ashram. I'm calling it monitoring. Helping manage the ashram, to have some devotees who are in a rotating schedule, maybe two or three devotees taking turns rather than burden one person. And they're the point man, the person you go to with complaints. And they're also responsible to keep an eye out on how things are going in the ashram and report to Chitraketa Prabhu and me and talk to the devotees and be there for complaints. Complaints should go to that person first, to the monitor. And then at least I'll hear it and I'll have an idea what's going on. And I heard from Matsya Prabhu 1 minute before he left this idea of backbiting. Nobody ever mentioned it to me before. Okay, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu?
I just want to give one example. Maybe it's my blame, my fault that I approached Matsya Avatar Prabhu.
You approached Matsya Avatar Prabhu?
Yeah, I told him that nobody cleans after prasadam on Friday because Prahladananda Prabhu, he had to go to Vrindavan.
Yes.
And few weeks, nobody cleaned it. I mean,
prasadam hall.
And I could do it, but I didn't do it because, like, who's responsible? The question is. And I approached a few devotees, and they said, no, I'm not manager. It's like manager is something bad. Like.
Anyway, finally, it's somebody else, not me.
Somebody else, not me, yes. And finally, they told me, go to Matsya Avatar Prabhu, because he's manager, actually. He's not manager, but... Matsya Avatar Prabhu, yes.
He's our head teacher. I didn't know he was a manager.
But... Well, I'll be honest with you. One devotee, I don't want to call his name, he's not here, but he told me, actually, I'm not manager, but you have to go to Matsya Avatar, his manager. And I approached him. He wasn't feeling good. And I said, Matsya Avatar Prabhu, I'm not authority. I don't want to spoil my relationships because we're like equals. In accordance with etiquette, you should not go directly to a person, just go to somebody who is his authority and tell him.
We should not?
No, I should not go directly.
Not go directly to the authority?
No, directly to the person if you have some problems. Because
well, it depends. If it's just a personal problem between you and him, better you just deal with it, the two of you. If it's just a personal thing, if it's an institutional thing affecting the ashram, then go to the authority.
But I think it's a service, question of service.
Krishna's floor isn't getting cleaned. It's not just between you and the person who didn't clean it. That you should go to the authority. Now, the problem was, where was the authority? You couldn't find one.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's right.
So we're
maybe
going to appoint you and a few devotees, and you're going to be the one that, you know, when it's your turn, they're going to have to go to you.
Actually, finally, it worked, because Prahladananda Prabhu, he approached me, and he said, look, I cannot do it every Friday. Can we change? Like, I will do it in the morning, and you will do it afternoon. I said, yes, okay, I was waiting it, but... Who was that person who did it? I don't know. It's like secret for me. Who is manager in our ashram? Who is authority and who can take care of like different problems?
Well, this kind of thing, we should have this system, a monitor system, to help. You know, these relatively minor things of just doing, you know, getting the things done. The monitors don't establish policy, make any new policies. They just help implement what's already in place.
That's right. Another point that I wanted to say...
Yeah, when Chitraketa Prabhu was the first person to go there, but he's not here in the evening, and you go to the monitor, yeah.
Another point is that I think our sadhana is going down. Somehow or other... We have some problems with our sadhana, and therefore we have problems with time, and I mean with japa, with time, and certainly we don't have enthusiasm. It's not external problem. I think it's more internal problem to do something with our health, to do something with our consciousness, and that's my opinion.
Yes. Okay, but that leaves it a complicated problem. Well, okay. About that question of problem with sadhana, any comments? Yes?
The only tangible way of measuring that, to my understanding, is by looking at the attendance of the sadhana. But I'm saying that the only means of measuring the sadhana is if someone attends regularly all the classes and does chanting every day. I mean,
from the point of view of the management, I think we're thinking here from the point of view of the individual and his own sadhana. What do you do about your sadhana? And not what does the management do about everybody's sadhana, but what was the, because it's individual responsibility. Nobody's going to manage your sadhana for you. Ultimately, you got to have your own sadhana.
But
so what you know, in this situation where you got to do a lot of other things, go to classes, and sweep the floor. Wow, how do we deal with this problem of keeping a strong sadhana? How does the individual take care of his own sadhana?
But
yes,
I don't understand actually exactly what this means. Is like sadhana means whatever we are doing here. And also hearing lectures and...
Yeah, it's not a question of what the sadhana should be. The question is, how come I can't get to all the classes? How come I can't stay awake in Bhagavatam class?
Yeah. Because every case is individual. Everybody has their own difficulty to overcome in the execution of their duties or sadhana. So part of the monitoring... or the person that has this responsibility as the monitor, is that he should... okay. Maybe...
Go ahead.
Okay. Maybe not the duty of the monitor. Let's take that aside. But we need somebody that has the responsibility or some system for this personal care, which a person can be approached
I think that this monitor... This... person who's taking his turn as the monitor, he's part of that.
He's part of that. He goes and see the individual. Oh, you're not there.
I mean, I should be involved in that too, but I need information. I need to be told about it. So the monitor can come to me and tell me so-and-so has a problem with this aspect of his sadhana.
And trying to help him, give some solution, some support to help this person. Yeah.
But the monitor, he's the first person who recognizes there's a problem, either because the devotee goes to him and says, look, I have a problem,
or
else he just sees it, or someone else tells him. But the monitor is responsible to catch, to on his radar, pick up the problem, and then discuss it with me and with Chitraketa Prabhu and with the devotees involved.
This is a side... this is on the same point.
This is in lieu of... having, a senior, experienced, strong devotee living in the ashram. We don't have a Prabhupada disciple living in the ashram who could be this god brother. So we're asking the devotees who are in the ashram, a few of them, to take turns trying to stand in these shoes and serve that function.
And it may be as expectations to this monitor is that he's not... We cannot expect that he'll solve all problems, but he'll be there as a friend or a companion, giving some attention at least.
Aware of what's going on, to hear complaints, and then convey it.
Convey it.
Be a go-between.
It's like in between you and the students. Ultimately, you're taking care of us, and the monitor is helping you take care of the devotees.
Okay.
Okay. You got proper understanding?
Yes.
Chitraketa
Prabhu has his hand.
On the same point,
we'll get to it.
Guru Sivananda Prabhu was telling me about Dandvantari Maharaj's school in Brazil. They have like a Bhakti Shastri school where a devotee goes for 1 year and gets trained. And one part of the system of management is that every month they have what they call a Dasanudas, where he's like the temple commander for that month, and he takes care of everything. And it's known that it's like it's a month that there's heavy responsibility on that person. So like I think every student or the students that are qualified, they take on such a position.
But that would mean 1 month of not doing your schoolwork.
I don't know exactly.
I don't know if it's practical because I don't think anybody here can become a full-time manager.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how it works, but he takes on certain responsibilities like that. So that's one example to see how they...
but you'd have to stop your other services to do that.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how much responsibility. Maybe you just take just a little bit more, but you can continue studies. But that's one way how they do to counteract this problem, or have they dealt with this
manageable things.
Okay.
At the same, at the same time, doing this responsibility gives also some training how to deal with people and how to care for people. There's some certain aspect of there also in that training. If a person takes that responsibility,
he should be trained on how to deal with people.
No, I'm saying that by doing this responsibility,
you learn.
You learn certain things about how to deal with people and how to be, give attention to devotees.
Even if we're not going to be managers, we're going to be teachers, maybe gurus in the future, we got to learn how to deal with people.
Yeah, so these will be a good opportunity to, to try to develop such qualities.
Sure, it's good for devotees to participate, but I don't know about becoming a full-time general manager for a month. I mean,
but it's some system.
Chichukeda Prabhu?
I think the problem here is just pretty simple.
Yes.
We all are very practical, and we don't have to get things more complicated by goals and evaluation. And it's very simple if our enthusiasm, if we are encouraged, if this is up, everything else will go up.
Yes.
If we are encouraged and if we are enthusiastic, and that will come once we trust each other. And I've already told you, Prabhu, but I will tell everybody here because I've been in Gurukul and I've seen what teachers and what the Gurukul boys were doing amongst each other. They were spying on each other and telling on each other. And this, I've seen the entire year. And that, because of that, it was a failure in the Gurukul. And this is one thing which we should not have. Devotees should look at themselves, their individuality. That's what I think.
Yes.
They should just look amongst themselves and do not bring the negativity in the school. I think we're all grown-ups and we should think it more in a practical way and not tell amongst each other, just live amongst friends and obviously the rest will go up. If the negativity is not there in the school, the rest will go up.
Okay.
We can force the attendance, we can force the our class schedule, the goals, but then if there's no encouragement, if there's no enthusiasm, it might go on for 1-2 days, but after that it will fall in the same spot again.
Yes, but we have to discuss, why aren't we satisfied? Why aren't we encouraged? What's missing? When a person is dissatisfied, it's because there's something he wants that he's not getting. So what is it that you want that you're not getting? You suggested attention. That's important. That's very important. But like, what else? Because otherwise, if you were getting what you wanted, you'd be satisfied, even despite difficulties. You'd put up with the difficulties because you're getting what you want. Yes. But the... I don't want to discourage you, but let's also invite some others to speak in. Go ahead.
I agree with Chitaketu that it'd be nice if we didn't have complaints or if we just could all get along and care for each other. I remember I was discussing with my spiritual master about this point of caring for devotees and how he did a wonderful job in Chapati. And he said to me, he said, care has to be there, but yes, there must be a system to propagate this care.
A care propagation system.
Yeah, I mean, there must be a system to, like, something practical to show that you care.
Okay, there has to... Well, okay, you have to show that you care.
Yeah,
there has to be a system for it.
Yeah, he said there has to be a system to make sure there's care.
I mean, I have a hard enough time just caring. Developing a system, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it shows that you care. So this is one attempt towards that. This monitor person, this responsibility, is a system by which... we can care for each other, or if somebody is dissatisfied, he has somebody to go to. Like this.
I need help on this. If anybody has a good idea, how to develop such a system, please.
Yeah.
You know, write it down. Talk to me about it. Let me know what it is.
But wait, yeah. But if we understand that at least that is wanted and needed, then we'll make the steps.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said that being satisfied is important to be able to live peacefully together. I think another thing is there has to be a common sense of purpose. We have to all feel we're working for the same thing. We have defined what we're supposed to be working for, but are we all on the same channel? You know, are we all feeling that we share that purpose? If that's missing, that's another cause for not being able to be happy together. Yes, please. Eric, did you have something? Okay.
Yeah. I think I mentioned already to you that I have written a paper on school's mission statement and aims and its objectives, and I gave it, and Keshav Bhart, we've shown it to you.
Yes.
You like the idea. I showed then that paper to Keshav Bharati Maharaj, who kindly came.
Oh, he's editing
made
it.
Made a step forward on editing it and suggesting also, not just editing grammatically, but also suggesting contents-wise.
Yes.
So I think that would solve many problems, because when we have that paper ready, we could put it, first of all, we could directly announce it to all the students. We have, you know, like put it in the frame or something like that. Another thing, it's nice to include it in brochures or whatever advertisement school makes.
Well, we give a package. We give a package to anybody who wants to apply to the school. We give the prospectus, and application form. We can that can be a third thing included.
So yeah, so that because it kind of okay. We understand like the to allow devotees function as brahmanas, but I think it's more a mission. It's not an aim. Because mission is like more. Broad direction statement,
okay. Yeah,
statement
okay.
of the
okay.
direction. Well, what devotees feel, what I see, they need something more concrete, something more
okay.
down to earth. And well. So that's what I was attempting to do, doing that.
Okay.
So, because, devotion, kind of devotional life has its goals, but, you know, yeah, it's required having something more concrete.
Okay, but we
and then it's much more clear for everyone why they're here, and for everyone else who are not here, when they see that paper, they will think like, okay, is it what I really is it what my guru wants me to do for Prabhupada, or like is it like that? It bring much more clarity in devotees. Setting their goals in the service of Prabhupada.
Yes.
Because it's true that, I mean, we are here and we can speak of unity, but point is that, okay, we are all unity, we are all same movement, we all chant the same mantra, we worship the same God, in the same sense. But then after 3 years, I know that some devotees going back to their countries to preach, I'm going to do something, another devotee is doing to do something. So if you know, to which, in what sense we use the word unity, like, in that...
Well, while we're together, we should work together cooperatively.
So, yeah, while we're together, that's yeah. So, but it looks like also some, in discussion with some devotees, I noticed that actually they have different conception of what school should actually provide. And where school should be directed as a general direction, very very different views on that. So I think we have to just settle it down and kind of be more concrete. We can't make now a kind of a university satisfying every. We should start with some direction, which I proposed as a book production, and then when we get fixed in that. We can think of expanding school to other and making it kind of a Brahminical
university. Okay, making BBT book production an actual practical thing you're being trained for, and an actual activity of the school as a group. Yeah.
Yeah, but and then later, because devotees were, you know, thinking of like, kind of, just a training of in philosophy without the Sanskrit and like the like different ideas. But then I thought like, why don't we just first of all be practical and set one goal, achieve it, and then think of doing something after that. Not immediately, everything at the same time. Like then, yeah, and build up from that platform. First, we establish ourselves on a platform of training, of book production training, which of course involves philosophy and other things. But then we can see what we can do further on. So we can just be more focused in our endeavors.
I tend to work more piecemeal. I don't have much trust in Grant. This is my personal thing. Why I didn't do it myself. I don't have much trust in grand plans that 99% of them never get done. So I personally don't work. I don't get into making grand plans. I just make a more immediate plan. So I made a plan for a 3-year program that had a heavy emphasis on developing the language skills required to be able to seriously deal with the original literature. The original, you know, the Bhagavatam commentaries. And that's a limited goal, but that's how I work. You know, I make a big castle in the sky that'll never get built. I just don't want to waste my time with that. I'm apologizing, giving excuse why I didn't do it. Why I didn't spell out the plan for the future beyond 3 years. You know, I would rather say, I just think for myself, let's, you know, survive 3 years and then see about it. But yes, you know, you're right that's required. I need help to do that. You're working on it.
And I think, yeah, because I also share the same opinion that, yeah, we should be more, how to say, focused on something, one. But I think now it's the time when we have to actually revise what we are going to do in the future, because some time has passed already.
What?
Like, not but means, like, consider.
Review. Revise means to change. Review means to look at it.
Okay, review, yeah. Like, okay, now is the time to have at least a look at the next step.
Yes.
Maybe. Because we have already almost done, fixed the curriculum. We reviewed the curriculum of first 2 years.
And the third we're working on.
And third is just, yeah. So I think it's the time to make a next, to have a look at what on the next step. Just
if anybody has the patience to continue after 3 years, we'll see.
Yeah. But for those, it's only for those who want to continue.
Yeah.
Because like, we don't try
and
to impose
we can try as far as the concept of training in an opportunity to do book production, we can try to start working that into the third year even, so to some extent. Yeah. Yes. No, we need your microphone so we can understand what you're saying. Doesn't reach? Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to tell that I'm working in BBT since I joined the movement. It's basically almost 20 years. And I wanted to remind you, we are supposedly would to be BBT translators, workers, or whatever we are. BBT is part of ISKCON and heart of ISKCON. Automatically, it means we're following all morning programs. Sadhana is perfect. BBT is Brahman as a brain of ISKCON. It's not that you're canceling morning program, Bhagavatam class, everything, and you consider yourself part of BBT. That's ridiculous. You have to be more pure. Brahma Tejas means austere, means pure. How do you get pure? Okay, not by slackening sadhana, not by canceling Bhagavatam class and Bhagavatam Vidyapida beg your pardon. What we have on BBT in Consciousness Guard, we work for years. We have all full morning program, including Bhagavatam class, okay? We didn't chant this one chapter, but our special sweet thing about our school. Evening program, yes, whoever wants to come to Guru Arati, because you're supposed to work 12, 14 hours a day translating books. It's Hare Keshav Maharaj's wonderful program. Not a single person to enter Maya. 12 hours translating. Are you studying 12 hours? Are you pure enough? Are you rebelling against Bhagavatam because you're not strong enough? Okay, BBT is ISKCON. All ISKCON people follow the morning program. But no reckoning about this. Otherwise, you're not Brahmanas. You cannot be like that. If you're BBT, be BBT. If not, then go somewhere else and find some loser program. Understand, it's heart of ISKCON. You cannot corrupt the heart and think ISKCON will survive. You're in charge of ISKCON, okay? Inside, that's what unites us. Your Brahmanas can be scattered all over the world after the school, but you carry the same mission, you carry the same Bhagavatam, you maintain the Sampradaya. You don't understand the philosophy. You maintain it. You can, Nityananda can go to the south and translate his Tamil Shastras. Like somebody else go to Lithuania, translate his Lithuanian Shastras, whatever, doesn't matter. But you carry the same mission throughout our lives. We die and hand it over to somebody else. That's our unity. And not sit in one place and watch like windows in the material world, you know. So many wonderful movies. Okay? Bhagavatam is what unites us, and it's millions of years. It unites everyone who is part of Sampradaya. All Munis, Rishis, BBT, us, and following generations. Get it together, please. Hari Bol.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Dhrumada Prabhu. Who's?
Who is cancelling? Krishnamurti Maharaj mentioned that we're cancelling morning programs. And
last week, about, you know, can I comment? Anyway, it was suggested to me by, it was suggested to me that we make an adjustment in the morning program, that we have my Sandarbha class instead of the regular Bhagavatam class. And instead of having the recital of one chapter a day, have the same chapter over and over again until you memorize it. So I tentatively thought, yeah, it's a good idea, but let's wait till Sunday to make a final decision. A few devotees couldn't wait till Sunday, and it was announced, and the Bhagavatam schedule was ripped off the wall, and I, over the weekend, had changed my mind that we can't cancel the Bhagavatam class. Excuse me. That what I have to say in the Sandarbhas, I don't use Prabhupada's purports. I very often change the translation to fit Jiva Goswami's explanation. And we don't, you know, we're eliminating Prabhupada's Bhagavatam class if we do that. And I'd rather cancel everything else and keep the Bhagavatam class. Yeah.
So strongly said that you don't understand this.
I'm sorry? Yes, please.
She was so strongly saying that you don't understand who is this if you want to cancel. But no one was going to cancel.
A few devotees wanted to. Some did.
There was a discussion, and when you came on Sunday, that's it. And it's,
well, okay. I mean, some devotees were upset, and some devotees are still upset. And some of what happened yesterday may be partly because we didn't cancel. I mean, some devotees are not happy about it, that I didn't agree to it ultimately. Sanat Goswami, please.
I just want to say, to discuss 3 points.
Yes.
First time, because I am for Bhagavatam class. I mean, Bhagavatam is really something valuable. But in my situation, my schedule is that, I just shortly described my schedule. I get up usually at 2:30, then I take bath, I do my exercises, I chant my japa, then Mangalarati. Then sometimes I take rest after Mangalarati, sometimes I chant japa. Then morning program, I mean, DT greetings, Bhagavatam, and so on. Then breakfast, then my service. Then we have classes, and usually I can do something. I can study something from 4 till 6. After 6 o'clock, I wash my clothes, and from 7 till 8, I can
read sometimes read or just to speak with devotees. That's it. We have milk, and at 8:15 something like that.
Yes.
And then I have to go to sleep. And we have only 2 hours. I mean, in my situation, I would like to have more time for studying, because I think that now Tattva Sandarbha class is very interesting, but it's not for me now, because I'm hearing, I like it, but I can't like think, I can't read, because I don't have time. And grammar is I like it. Grammar is, of course, it's like our food. Tika and spoken Sanskrit is also like, can we do something with
well,
the
schedule? Well, I had some idea, maybe not as radical as you want, that nobody should be forced to take 4 classes after breakfast. That if the first-year students who theoretically have 4 classes, I mean, yes, should have a choice. The two of them, they can choose one or the other. Or then we were talking about a little more complicated system that, how does it go? That the first, in your first 2 semesters in the first year, you just take spoken Sanskrit, you don't take Tika. Don't make the beginners take the Tika class. Then the 3rd semester of the first year, you take the Tika class. And then the 2nd year, then you choose which one you want, Tika class or spoken Sanskrit each semester, but you switch back and forth. If you do one semester, you do the other the next semester. That was one idea, to relieve the burden somewhat. If you think it has to be relieved more, I'm saying nobody has to take more than 3 classes. Do you think that you should have only 2 classes or only 1 or what?
I think 3 classes is a...
3 classes is a full schedule. Probably, less than that is you know, not so full. But it's extremely challenging, yes. And if it is really too much, we have to discuss it.
Especially if it's hot. The weather is very hot and you just can't control your body. It wants to sleep.
Well, that should be open for discussion. What's practically possible? Are we being pushed beyond our ability? That I'm not going to ignore anybody who thinks that he just can't handle it. I want to take it seriously. It has to be discussed.
Yes. Another point that I wanted to discuss maybe with devotees, that Harinama program, I like it. I mean, I'm inspired. But because of time, I can't take part. And my suggestion is that we have a, instead of every week, I mean, program every week, we can have 1 big Harinama a month. And we can invite devotees from Bhaktivedanta Ashram. We can invite, and it should be like compulsory. For all devotees of our ashram, we can go. And my suggestion is that we can change our direction from Haridev to somewhere else, because when I come to Haridev, I like Haridev, but these wild children, I don't want to offend them, but they do their business. They have their own kirtan, and I'm not inspired. I mean, I'm not inspired at all to go there, because we have our kirtan, and these pujaris, they have their own kirtans. And
well, suppose we did that. We had a big Harinam that everyone should go on once a month. And what if some devotees do want to do Hari Dev once a week? Just let them do it. You know, no one's obliged to go.
Yeah,
and doesn't want to go, let them go.
But last time one devotee, he came to my room and he said, look, actually, when we sit in Bhagavatam class, we say preaching, but when it comes to preach, nobody is there. And actually, for me, my preaching is studying. I think my preaching is studying here. And I don't see, like...
Yeah, that's not fair to put that pressure on you. You're not, you know, what are you doing here? You know, why don't you come out and preach with us? Because, yeah, so this is, you know, this is our preparing for preaching, at least. You know, many of you were distributing books or doing some other preaching before you came here. And you stopped that to come here and do this. I hope not just because you want to quit preaching, but to prepare yourself for more preaching. And you should be allowed to do that. You shouldn't be, you know, nagged. You know, what are you doing anyway? Why don't you go out and preach? That's not fair. Not fair. Nobody should do that.
What is the devotee's opinion? I mean, can we do this? Once a month?
Yeah, comment? Every Ekadashi, twice a month, every Ekadashi. Not a good day for kirtan? No, no, but we get more people the day before. We get more people here on the day before Purnima. It's Dwadashi. The big days for Parikrams, people coming in, is the Dwadashi and Troyodashi. And Chaturdashi, Troyodashi and Chaturdashi are the biggest days, and the actual Purnima, they're gone. 13th and 14th day. 14th day. Chaturdashi. That's twice a month then. Chaturdashi before the Purnima, that's one day.
Maybe on that day, make it compulsory, but have one class less on that day.
Okay. There can be some relief from the schedule for that. What time of the day should it be? Morning or evening? Evening. You mean give a Bhagavad Gita class at Hari Dev? No, I'm sorry, what's the suggestion? I didn't even catch it. You mean when you go out? We don't do that? We don't have any class? Well, when they go out to Hari Dev or wherever, there should be a class. Is there? They won't let you, or? Why not do it? Even if there's only one person listening. It can be a 10-minute class. Well, maybe you should go somewhere where you got a better audience. It'd be good to have a Hindi class if you're doing it outside here. Sure, 10 minutes. But I mean, are we just too attached to Hari Dev? If we don't have a good audience there, why go? We can get sweet balls somewhere else. Probably not, yeah. You mean set up on the Parikrama? We'd have to get a stage or... They won't let us use it. Yeah, but they only set it up once a year. Well, we can ask about that. We can ask about that. Okay, let's form a committee. Who wants to be the head of the committee? To have what? No, I'm saying when we go out to preach, we should have some class, even if it's just for a few minutes. Even if you go out in the street to chant, someone should talk for a few minutes. Yeah. And distribute books, yeah, but that, you know, also someone should talk. Even if just stand in the street and talk for a few minutes. And it will have to be, it should be in Hindi. This is a short-term assignment, just to organize discussion on this. And report. You're volunteering?
I'm volunteering. If anybody has any ideas,
so you're in charge of the preaching committee.
Well,
come up with a plan.
Just the program twice a week.
Discuss it with devotees. Discuss it with devotees and present a plan.
Yeah. And After, yes, so that's it.
Okay.
So if anybody has any concern, please come and see me. And you can okay. discuss.
Yes, Will.
My last point is, can we go to some holy place or Tirtha once a month? Say we can book some bus and on Saturday we can go and to have some, for example, we can invite Dinabandhu Prabhu or some other
devotee. You mean in Vraja, not further?
Yeah. Can we book a bus and go there
once
and just
a month.
Have some... Once a month.
I guess it could be done. Yes? I don't know.
I don't think we need classes, but at least we can go there.
Have academic classes? You can do an Abba, do it on a Saturday.
We can hear some Krishna Katha, we can have Kirtan and...
Do we have enough devotees? How many devotees stay back on Saturday? Not many. Okay. I mean, it's not practical to try to do it on Saturday, but... okay, anyway... you can also consider that as part of your discussion. Visiting holy places. Well, actually, why not discuss it outside? Yeah. Okay. Oh. Okay. So go to Damodar Prabhu and discuss it with him. Okay. Anybody have anything to say in general? Bhagavan Prabhu.
There's a principle that I saw that it works where I was working, where I was studying before. I studied for some time, but I saw that it works like that. When students are together, then there is strong relationships with each other. A kind of healthy competition also helps to have strong healthy competition with each other. Also helps to develop strong relationships. In the very goals that we are heading towards, I've not been a good example of this at all, but this is an idea and
yes.
It works that students have strong relationships with each other. Just doesn't mean that they joke or even share Bhagavatam also, not just that much, but they have some healthy competition, like in studying grammar with students who are friends, so they can compete with each other. And like how when I was studying in that Gurukula for just 2 months, but then the system was like this. I'm sure there will be a phase like this, but there were many teachers from, and all of them were very well educated in Sanskrit and in Veda Mantra and all that. And there the focus was to study Veda Mantras and to study Sanskrit, to be able to speak in Sanskrit. So each of these teachers had just 4 or 5 students, not more, and every one of them felt very much committed to their teacher. And then those teachers were competing between themselves that whose students are better. So this multi-level competition was there, and everyone wanted their teacher to be the best. And even amongst the students, they had some healthy competition. Like, I don't know, this word competition itself has a negative connotation, but there can be some healthy competition with.
But okay, who organizes it? Just informally among the students, they just organize it themselves.
Yeah, it's part of the relationship. Like generally, it's understood that you should not compete, and it's a part of envy. Competition is not necessarily envy. Doesn't need envy. You can compete even without being envious and
yes,
wanting.
Yes. It's a good idea.
That gets one more on the job.
Okay, we've run over time. I think we should stop for now. If you want to talk more, we can next week do it again. Maybe we didn't hear so much the serious complaints that are nagging in your guts, you know, and maybe we didn't hear enough of that.
Yes, Will.
Which? There's no Tika class? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes. It's not with respect to preaching or Harinam or anything. I just wanted to know if you can clearly chalk out the things, like as you said clearly about this Brahminical behavior and how students are supposed to act and behave and do services. And so if we have properly laid down the prohibitions or things that shouldn't be done, then everybody is is aware of that, so that there is no problem when something wrong is happening with someone, or someone is doing something wrong, and suppose some other person sees that, and if he comes and says to the authority, and then he may not get the blame of becoming complaining or doing something. So if we know clearly what are the prohibitions or things that we shouldn't do, then everybody will be careful of. Of course, okay. Not everybody is doing, but there is some problem if with some devotees they are doing something.
We can define Brahminical behavior and attitude in terms of what not to do and what not to think, or we can do it positively. Krishna gives a formula in the Gita defining what he says are the activities of Brahman. It's really matters of attitude mostly. And it's mostly positive. Well, positive and negative mixed. Shamo damak tapak shaucham shantir arjavam evacha gyanam viganam astikyam prakarma sabhavajam. I think if we think and discuss that list, that formula, we'll derive a lot of insight. You know, shama, controlling the mind. Your mind has to be not given free rein to, you know, with its passions to drive you here and there and to create all disturbances for yourself and others. A Brahmin has to have a controlled, peaceful mind. Otherwise, no question of functioning as a Brahmin. Disturbed mind, disturbed by passions, you're in the mode of passion. Disturbed by lamentation, you're in the mode of ignorance. It's not functioning as a Brahmin. Brahmin has to have a clear, peaceful mind. And then second is Dhammaha, sense control. I think Prabhupada explains it's like two lines of defense around a city. If the enemy gets through the first line, you have an inner line of defense. So if your mind gets disturbed, at least you don't let your... What's the other way around? No, if the mind gets disturbed, at least you keep your senses controlled. You may be thinking of sense gratification, but at least you don't do it. That's the second line of defense. You know, that you're actually engaging your senses in what you're supposed to be doing and not in what you're not supposed to be doing. And so on. I mean, we can analyze and discuss all these elements of Brahminical behavior and attitude that Krishna defines in that verse or lists in that verse. Some thought about that verse, and maybe read the commentaries on it, would help us understand what are the proper activities and attitudes of a Brahmin. We should be cultivating those. The school should be implementing those or helping us develop them. And if we're doing the opposite, we're failing. If the result is disturbed minds and uncontrolled senses and so on, and weakness, weakening of faith, and not very good knowledge, then we're failing. We're doing just the opposite of what we should do.
That's the same subject. Very short. I think this is part of like what we discussed of the evaluation and the monitoring.
We mark the devotees on shama and dhamma and tapat.
No, it's not. The evaluation doesn't necessarily mean that you mark everybody on everything. Is that you have certain expectations?
Yes.
And you know what's supposed to be done, and if it's not done, you make steps to make sure it's done.
Okay, doesn't that require some form of measurement?
Yeah. So some measure, whichever form it takes, but that's the principle. And then, there should be an ongoing evaluation.
Yes.
And if a person's not fit, well, sorry, fit somewhere else.
Yes, okay, yeah. Okay.
I mentioned about this importance of prohibitions because, like, in ISKCON we have, I mentioned about the importance of prohibitions because, like, in ISKCON we have, Prabhupada very clearly said that the goal is to always think of Krishna and never forget him and chant 16 rounds. And also he stressed on these four regulative principles to devotees, may not be to newcomers, but for the devotees, so much that everywhere, we even during initiation, we say these four regulative principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, yes. Like that. So, the stress is given like on prohibition. Like, for example, always remember Krishna and there's a prohibition. Do not ever forget him. So, this is kind of a... in general, this is like do this and do not do this. Like I was inspired to ask this,
yes,
because
yes.
In Rupanuga Vedic College, I saw the list of things that Dhanavir Maharaj set out. So I was thinking of incorporating some things in our website. So at that time, this point came to my mind that actually we can all look at that site where he is giving. Even though the students who are going there of a different nature, the whole different class of people are going to that institute. When here there's a different class of students, but still those are the preliminary regulations and prohibitions that he is making. But here the expectations even more. In a sense, those are preliminary prohibitions and these things. But here the expectations even more, so that because the quality is even more here. That is the reason why I asked the question of
yes.
These prohibitions.
No, I agree with you. I have failed to spell it out much. I started working on an essay, you know, analyzing the Shamo Dhammak Tapak, but I didn't get very far in it. I got distracted. It should be done. We should give thought to it and write and say something about it.
So maybe if you complete,
I need help on that. Yeah.
If you complete the essay, we can post it in the website and also, advertise it to all devotees, and everybody can be aware of those things. What shouldn't be done and what can be done, like that.
Yes. In other words, more thoroughly define what it means to be brahminical. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Anyone who hasn't spoken wants to try to say, let us know what you think. Okay, should we stop for now? Okay. Thank you, all glories. I won't be here tomorrow. I'm going to Delhi. I'll be here on Sunday. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Shri Jaya.